Today's NetFit podcast is sponsored by Origin, powered by Good Energy.
All right, today's guest is one of the best leaders I know in the netballing world. She's a five-game premiership-winning coach, the most capped coach in history of the National League, a Netball New South Wales Life member, and a newly appointed member of the Order of Australia. Welcome, Julie Fitzgerald, my favourite coach. How are you?
Welcome, favourite, one of my favourite players, Kimberly.
You've got to be careful there, Jules.
Yes, very.
We can say one, my favourite ex-player, maybe.
Oh, there's a few.
Oh, you can't do that either.
No.
That is fair enough. Thank you so much for spending some time with the NetFit community and sharing your thoughts. You're a huge part of our community, and I know a lot of our coaches and our young players look up to you. And I know you're almost been a mentor the last little bit for our coaches in particular. And we've sat on a Zoom meeting and you just inspired so many. And I thought this was a perfect opportunity. I know with a lot of things going on at the moment, but a perfect opportunity to get you on and I guess talk about your leadership. But firstly, let's talk about the member of the Order of Australia. How did you feel when you were given or you appointed that incredible honour?
I was absolutely dumbfounded. And you get a letter in March that says don't tell anyone, but it doesn't exactly say you've got it. It kind of infers you've got it, but it doesn't exactly say you've got it. And then it wasn't until about the end of May that I got a letter confirming everything and telling me how it worked and what would happen. So the family was really, really excited. I think it's a really special thing for them as well. But when the day came and it was announced, it was a great moment and I really will treasure it.
Oh, 100%. And I think for everyone in the netball community, we are never shocked by huge honours like that for you. But when, you know, it happens personally, that's just such an incredible honour and so well deserved. And congratulations. I know we've spoken since then. But yeah, it's just an incredible resume, Jules. And I guess that's why we wanted to get you on today is, I guess, part a little bit of your knowledge about leadership, about selections, and I guess where you came from and where you started. So how did you start in the coaching world? Where was your first club? I think that's always a really important question because it's so important, grassroots netball. So where did you start and why was it a passion of yours?
Oh, look, I think I am the typical grassroots story. I started playing at an early age for Hornsby Heights Sports Club and I absolutely loved it, and as is the nature of netball, by the time you reach high school, they want you to give something back. So I started coaching little teams, and from that first minute, I really loved it, and I was lucky enough then to move on to older teams and junior rep teams and senior rep teams and through to where I am today, and I think I've just loved everything about it at any level.
Yeah, and I think also going through the grassroots all the way to the elite, you have to like almost earn your stripes just like a player. What were some of the key messages that you learned when you were a younger coach that helped you further on in your career?
I think you learned very early on that everyone in your team is an individual. Even if they're only young, you can't treat them all the same way. So that and the fact that if everyone isn't having fun and loving it, they're not going to come back next year. So when you're coaching those little teams, I think the most important thing to judge yourself by is do they all come back and play again the next year?
Yeah, absolutely. And what would you say is your passion for coaching? What is like the one thing that you go home and go, oh, that's why I do it?
Oh, look, I think there's two sides to it. One is I love people and there is no better people industry than coaching. And it's not just the players that you have relationships with. It's all your management. It's all your sponsors. It's your fans. You get to mix with so many people at so many different levels. And I love that side of it. But I also have to admit to being an extremely competitive person. So I love game day. I love the fact that you're prepared for something that you get to go out there and compete. And I particularly love it when you win.
Yeah, winning is always good.
Much better.
It always helps. I agree. I much preferred you as a coach when we're winning.
Yeah, I can get a bit cranky when you lose, and it tends to hang around for a few days until you move on to the next game.
But I need to tell everyone, your cranky is my mum's nice. So I think for everyone, cranky is probably, you might get her for about 5 minutes cranky, and then we get back out on the court and yeah, it's back to normal and onto the next thing. So I think that's one of the great things that I've always loved about you as a coach, Jules, is that you don't let things linger. You don't hold grudges. You see it for what it is, but you also call it out as well and nip it in the bud, and then you get moving pretty quickly. And I think for a player like me, I'm sort of in a similar way where I just kind of want to get on with it as quick as I can, say my piece. How have you found your leadership style has changed over, you know, being grassroots and moving all the way to the elite? Have you had to change, I guess, your leadership style every year based on the players that you have?
Possibly. Like, I think I've certainly got more confident in the way that I might run a team and the way I might handle situations or handle things that ask me to be a leader in some ways. I've probably got a little bit more confident about how I handle that. But I think it's important to remember that everybody wanted to win and everybody tried to win. And when you do lose, it's not just you who's lost, everyone's lost. And I think too that the demands of Suncourt Super Netball are such that you've got to move on pretty quickly, because no game is easy, and all of a sudden you're thrown back into another game in a matter of days. So you don't have time to linger over things. But I do try and set an example. I like to think that I work extremely hard, so I'm not asking too much when I ask my players to work extremely hard. Same with my management team. I think we want everyone to put in a great effort to achieve what we want, and so I've got to make sure that I'm on top of everything as well.
And would you say that your coaching style has differed based on each team as well? I mean, leadership is one thing, because you almost need to be really solid and create the team around you to help you build that. But as a coach and really concentrating on the strategies of games, have you seen a change in your coaching style from year to year? Or is it just like, this is what I'm good at, this is what I know, and then you implement other people in?
Oh, no, I think I've changed in the sense that you get to the end of every year and you think, I could have done that better. So then you work out how you're going to improve on that. So you look back and you do it with everything, even when you're reviewing the team's performance and things like that. You look back and think, well, this worked well, I'm going to keep that. But maybe I could have done this better. So next year I'm going to have a go at doing it this way. And that might mean I change my behaviour, or I bring someone in who would handle that side of things better than I would, or I might seek some further education in the off-season so I can handle it better. But I think every year you need to be a little bit better than you were the year before.
Yeah, and I know firsthand, because I see all the work that you put in as a coach and as a leader. I'd love you to almost tell everyone sort of, I guess, the extent that you go to in the off season to bring a program like Giants Netball, or, you know, when you're with the Swifts or Magic, how you brought something like that together. How does it start? It is looking at, you know, what happened the year before, almost looking at grand finals that we might have won or might have lost, and then building a program around it, also looking at players at the same time. Can you, I guess, part a little bit of the background of that? Because I know exactly what goes into it, but I'm sure a lot of people would love to hear that.
Well, I think as soon as your season's finished, for us, the first thing is to make sure that we've got a team contracted for next year. So some years you will lose a lot of players for whatever reason. The next year you may have a reasonably consistent lineup. So you've got to look at what you might have lost and what you need to be better. So then you hope that you can add players to your team where you need to, that will bring to the team what you want. Once you've got the lineup of your team settled and you know exactly what you're dealing with, you obviously have a look back on last year and what didn't work and what worked well and what you think might add a bit of interest to it. I'm always very conscious of the fact that I'm lucky enough sometimes to coach the same players for quite a number of years. So I want to think that each year I do something different that might surprise them or interest them, so they don't get bored with me, because that's a big threat. If you're going to, like, I coached you for I don't want to think how long, and I'd hate you to think that every year I turned up and did the same thing. So you want to add that variety to your program so people stay interested in it. And particularly in the beginning, you want a little bit of excitement that things might, you know, there might be a bit more interest this year than something new to play with. But then you've got to work out, once I get a draw, you work backwards from your draw, you work out how many weeks you've got to put into your pre-season, what you might want to achieve in the pre-season. And then you've got to think about what you have got. Have you got some players who are going to need a lot of extra work in pre-season to get fitness to where you want? Have you got older players you want to maintain their fitness and ensure they're not injured so you might manage their load? So individually, you've got to go through what each player might need, what other commitments they might have, how you're going to fit it all in. And you do that in conjunction with all your management staff and everything else. And then I'm a big believer in not saying, I coach this style of netball. You've got to look at the makeup of your team, what skills those players have got, what style will suit those players. You might have someone you want to feature a play around, all those sorts of things, so that you're catering to the skills and the strengths of the individuals that you've got.
I love that so much, Jules, and I know that's why I loved being coached by you, because not everyone has the same strengths. When you look at players in particular, you know, you've got players that can run all day, or that you've got players that have got speed or strength or power to burn, and it's about being able to bring out the best in each of those players based on the coaching style that you will develop throughout that year. And I think that's exactly why I loved being coached for you and why I stuck with you for so long as well. But can I give you one little bit of feedback? And I know I've given you this feedback before. Julie's agility needs to be scrapped. For anyone that hasn't heard about us talk about the Julie's agility, it often leaves you with cramps, or you're on the sideline near a bin because you feel so sick. But it is probably about a 45-second agility drill that is non-stop dodging, jumping, moving, and then having to feed a ball at the end. And if you don't nail that pass or you drop a ball in between, you have to start again. And it's three each side, generally. Depending on how tired we look, she might pull back one rep. That's nice of you. But it sounds super easy when you think about it, but when you actually do it, it is so tough. And many a player has had to be sidelined because of it. So how did you come up with Julie's agility? And I guess, what do you love so much about it? We might have to get it on, have to tap into your brain and get you on the NetFit app doing it.
I just think, you think of netball and you think of catching and passing, right? But yep. I think the key ingredient of netball is footwork. If your feet can't get you to where you're going to catch that ball and they can't give you balance to pass the ball, then you've got no hope. So I think footwork is extremely important in netball. So that's how I started on agility drills. You'd be pleased to know I found a few different ways of doing it this year. But
the year I leave. Oh, is that Joe Harden getting in your ear?
Oh, no, I think they're still hard and I think everyone progressed them. But if you can't move and you haven't got great footwork, you can't be a great netballer. So I think it's a key ingredient to building the base that you need to be the best that you can be.
Yeah, and we always said if you can get through Jules's agility, you can get through any game. So, and I mean, Julie's agility only went for about 10 minutes most times. So
and it was I've never been able to understand why people couldn't put it in there for 30 seconds and then go.
I know, it's honestly, until you do it, it's just, I think that's one thing that, you know, we often talk about as players, like, oh, do you remember Julie's agility? Or Taylor Davies often talks about the fact that she can't finish a Julie's agility and it really makes her sad. One of the fittest little players going around, but Julie's agility gets her. So I absolutely love it. Now, Jules, going on to players, and I guess you've always been a coach that inspires players to be able to have a seat at the table and lead in their own way and feel inspired to, I guess, become a leader. What do you look for in a leader of, you know, your team, and what are the processes in choosing your leaders for Giants Netball or for any team?
I think essentially what you're looking for in a leader, obviously you want someone who's going to lead them on court and have a good netball brain and give 100% at training, so that in that sense they're setting the standard, and you never want your leaders to fall below the standard that you expect, because they'll take everyone else with them. But I also want leaders who are sympathetic to their fellow players, and we'll recognise when someone's struggling a little bit and give them a helping hand, and we'll come to you if there's something that you may have overlooked in a player that might need a little bit of extra attention, or you need that emphatic side of it as well, so that you know that you've got a leader who cares about her teammates as much as she wants to drive them.
Yeah, and I love that so much, and I think, you know, looking at leaders that you've had underneath you for so many years, not excluding me, I'm not talking about myself, but having a look at the leaders that you have coached, it's just been incredible to see the different leaders that have come through, and they all have different strengths. And I guess that's what I, what resonated so much with me, you know, as you, as the coach, was that you brought out the strengths of each leader, even though their strengths were completely different. Is there one thing that you have a look at all your leaders along the way and go, there was one thing that was the key element for all of them?
I think every one of them was a hard worker who was driven to be the best that they could be.
Yeah. I love that. And what is your process, as Jules, in choosing your leader? Do you let the team pick? I know what happens, but no one else knows what happens. Do you let the team pick? Do you pick? You know, what's the processes in that?
And this is something that I've changed over the years as well, but currently with the Giants, we allow the team to vote for the leader, but the management also get a say in who the leader might be. And never once have I had a team pick a leader that I didn't think was the right person for the job.
Yeah, and I think it, as a captain, it's so important to know that your players are behind you. Yes, to know that your coach is behind you, but when you're out on court, the players are the ones that are going to, you know, drive the team with you. And it's just so super critical to know that they want you there. And I think it gives you that confidence as
a
player.
And to me, it would be a disaster if the team chose a captain that I didn't want. I don't know how I would handle that situation. So I think I'm fortunate that we've always been on the same page.
Well, that's good to know. Well, Jules, we might head to a quick break, and then after the break, we'll be talking more to Julie Fitzgerald.
This is Tom. Tom cycled for charity. He's one of many inspiring people at Origin, supporting customers and communities every day. Origin, powered by good energy.
Welcome back to the NetFit podcast, brought to you by Origin, powered by good energy. We have the amazing Julie Fitzgerald with us, parting all of her wisdom and leadership. And it's just my favorite day, because I always love speaking to Jules and I miss speaking to her so much. But Jules, thanks so much again for being a part of what we do. I know that we've spoken about leadership and what you look for in a leader, what your coaching style and your leadership style is. But I guess now what I want to touch on is how you go about building a team. We touched on it a little bit earlier in the podcast. Do you look for individuals when you're building your team? Like, let's talk Giants netball. Brand new. You're looking for players. You're looking for a team that was going to be united. What was your process? We have a lot of coaches that come to us, or a lot of players that are just starting out coaching, and they often ask us, what do you look for in players and how do you build a team? So what better way to go to the best?
Well, I think if we go back to when we first had to start Giants Netball, a brand new team in a crowded sporting market like Sydney, we knew we had to make a mark straight away. So we wanted some senior experienced players in there that would know how to help us do that and to help us build a culture that would be the foundation of what we could grow in the future. So we were very fortunate to attract players like Kim Green and Beck Bully and Susan Bratley. And we were able to have a good playing base, but also individuals we knew would cherish the fact that we had 1 year to build a foundation. So that was very, very important to us. But I think when you build a team overall, one, obviously you've got to cover your positions, but I also like to vary the style of netball that we can play. If you make a change during a game, you don't want to replace like for like. You want to introduce something different, because you're making a change because you need to. So you want to know that that change brings something different that we haven't had before. So you're looking for a bit of diversity in playing style and skill set and things like that when you actually put your team together. You're looking for individuals you know want to be a part of a team and follow that team culture and enjoy being a part of something and enjoy the fact that they're supporting whatever the values of that team are. So you want those type of players. And I like a bit of diversity. I like people who are different, that come from different backgrounds or have different interests and things like that, because otherwise it gets a bit boring. So you want a bit of diversity in there. And I also think you've got to be careful that you obviously want your senior and experienced players there, but you know they're going to move on eventually. So you want to know that you're blooding young people to come through and take their place. And that's not only on court. You want to know that you're bringing people in who will learn the values that you're trying to enforce from those senior players, so that they can take over the mantle when it's their turn and your culture's growing. It's never having to go back and reset.
Yeah, and at Giants Netball, I think at the moment there's a really great balance of youth, but also those older heads that have been there for a little bit and have got the experience under their belt. Who is a leader that is coming through that this year in particular you're like, she will lead the Giants one day?
I think I'm blessed. Our team's full of them at the moment. Jamie Lee Price has unique leadership qualities that are very valuable, and I think she's definitely got the potential to do that in the future. Kira Austin's another style of leadership that's really starting to develop, and you can see more and more of that coming through. And then you've got kids like Tilly McDonald, who are only starting out on their career but already are making their mark. And yeah, I just love watching these people develop. You look at Amy Parmenta, like, she's a leader in every sense of the word, previous school captain of every team she's in, sort of thing. We're absolutely blessed with the quality of leaders we've got coming through. But I think it's also really important because we've now got an environment where those younger ones that are developing have every opportunity to use their voice and speak up, and they're well respected for everything they say. And that's a culture that takes a little while to develop, but I think we're really there now.
How exciting. So many young leaders. We hope that you said Jamie Lee Price, because last week we had her on the podcast and she put her hand up in saying that she wanted to be a leader one day of the Giants or the Diamonds. So, and I know Jay is just, her heart is so filled with gold. The player that you see is so different to the person that she is off the court. And I just think she's going to be a fantastic leader.
If you look at some of those young people that we've just mentioned, if each one of them became a captain tomorrow, their leadership style would be entirely different, but you'd value every one of them. So that's what I think is important to remember.
I agree. And I think now moving into the season, well, what we hope is going to be the season kicking off very, very soon, the rolling substitute is another great opportunity for players to be able to, I guess, what you were saying, being able to swap them in and out and completely bring something new. Have you thought about some of the tactics around that? Obviously not giving too much to other coaches that might be listening. Simone McInnes, I know you might be listening to this, but what are some of the tactics around that and how you might use it?
I think rolling subs is a great introduction to the game. It worked really well in ANL last year. It stops the fake injury that we all talk about. But it also gives you that opportunity to throw someone out there and see what they can do and give someone a rest or pull a player off and have a quick word to them and show them something that they're not quite getting the message of it. I think it opens up an enormous amount of opportunities for a coach and a team.
Yeah. And do we touch on the 2-point shot or we just leave it for now, Jules?
Oh, let's leave it for now. I keep reminding myself that it's really only for a third of the match, and the rest of the time we get to play normal netball. But I'm a bit of a traditionalist and I just don't think we need it.
No. Well, and it's an interesting one. There's so many voices out there around it, but it's going to happen. And I know I spoke to Jamie Lee quite early days when it happened and she's like, well, Jules was just like, we have to suck it up because it's going to happen anyway. And I was like, that is such a Julie Fitz thing to say. Have to just move on.
It is so true. We can't do anything about it. I get a little bit tired of everybody talking about the shooters. I think it has far greater effect on the defenders and it makes the game much harder for the defenders than the shooters. But like I said, it's there to stay, so let's get on with it.
Yeah, well, let's see what defenders step up. I love it. Well, I know that I guess training and being in isolation has completely thrown this year a little bit to the it's throwing curveballs left, right, and center. How have you found coaching in isolation? What has it been like? And I guess what adjustments have you had to make with the girls?
I think I've been through every emotion this year that is possible through ISO. I'll never forget the day that it became apparent that we were going to have to go home and no one was coming back to training for a while. And we sort of came into training and sat down and explained to the girls the situation we were in and told them to go home and we'd be in touch. And no one left. And it was kind of like, if I leave here, I don't know when I'm coming back. And it was the strangest feeling. And for the first few weeks, as we set it all up and we ran around and delivered whatever equipment we could lay our hands on and get them set up so they could train at home, I was a little bit anxious, but mainly trying to make sure that we covered everything. And I never really thought it would go on for quite as long as it did. But when the anxiousness died down and everything settled a little bit, I kind of enjoyed it in some ways. I think all of a sudden you went back to old school values in some ways. You were walking with your community and meeting your neighbours and cooking nice dinners and seeing your family and doing all these things that you just don't normally have time to do. But then that wore off pretty quickly and I was desperate to get back into it.
Well, I bet your garden looks amazing.
My garden looks beautiful. My cupboard is spotless. My wardrobe's been cleaned.
Oh, I love it so much. Well, Jules, thank you so, so, so much for, again, being such an inspiration in our NetFit community. We just absolutely love you. I love you. And I can't thank you enough for being a part of today's podcast.
Always a pleasure to talk to you and the NetFit community.
Thank you for tuning in to today's NetFit podcast brought to you by Origin, powered by Good Energy. Now, if you enjoyed today's chat with Julie and I, please let us know. We would love to hear from you. Whether you screenshot or tag us in your post or even DM us with some of your key learnings. Remember, we also have the Good Energy Club Challenge where you can win one of two $3,000 cash prizes for your club. All you need to do is download the free NetFit Netball app and add your club name into the settings page. In the meantime, have an amazing week, be kind to yourself, continue moving those beautiful bodies, and of course, keep sparking it up.